10 seconds. All right. You know what it is. You know who it is. We're back with episode 24 of the Thrive AMTAP. Episode 24. Did I say that?
You did.
Oh, sorry. You made it seem like it didn't.
I was overemphasizing the 24 for those of us that are tuning in and watching.
24 episodes in. 24. To think I couldn't get Derek to do this a while. I tried my hardest and we got it.
Well, the whole thing about it was I was worried that I wasn't going to shut up.
Yeah, I like it though. That's the whole point. That's why I wanted you on here.
Yeah. it's been fun.
If we had more time, I'd sit here and have you talk for hours.
If you guys want that, let us know.
Yeah, I'll sit here and listen. All right, so today, as I said, episode 24. Today we're going to be talking about nutritional progression and avoiding pitfalls, using progression to avoid pitfalls. I'm going to be sending out a newsletter tomorrow that we've been working on, and it's going to be kind of detailing a lot of this so you guys have it down as kind of something to refer back to, basically a little bit more in-depth, like a note-taking of this almost. So nutritional progression, why it's important, and how we use it to kind of advance us and, as I said, avoid pitfalls. So nutritional progression is important because in terms of training on a day-to-day basis, we progress movements every day, like the squat, the deadlift. We've talked about this many times where progression is what keeps us safe. It's what keeps us on track, headed in the right direction, and kind of keeps us level-headed. With nutrition, it's not really talked about in terms of like progressing nutrition. I've never really seen anybody break it down in terms of like what are the actual steps to building a healthy diet, not just, all right, we should be at specific weights or eating certain foods. It's like, all right, there are steps, just like anything else in life, that we can take to help get us to a point and keep us there for a while. So, like I said, one of the main points we're going to touch on today is like these steps and how they can help us avoid the problems that there are in like the industry of nutrition and fitness. So, why progression is important. And as I said, there's a few things we're going to touch on in terms of steps, specific steps, three specific steps, and tying it into why we use progression in that way. So first, I want to get into quality. I guess that would be the best place to start. So quality of the foods that we're eating, what are we eating, what types of foods are we eating, and I'll kind of let Derek go from there.
Oh boy. Oh yes, yes. Hey everybody, Derek here.
Sup fam?
Back with another podcast. No, I'm just kidding. Snow's falling. That's pretty cool. You get a nice little window view of that. So if I appear distracted, that's what's going on. There's some beautiful large snowflakes that are falling. Anyway, so the nutritional progression. Now, it's very important that we attach this concept of what we're talking about of nutritional progression with the avoiding of pitfalls, because as there are these shortcomings in the advancement of trying to succeed in improving our habits for eating, every time that we perceive a pitfall, which is subjective, for you as an individual, you experiencing a pitfall, that trips you up and that damages our confidence. It makes us feel like we might not be headed in the right direction. So this progression, this scaling and progression of these nutritional habits, fundamentally important in offering us the greatest opportunity for success here. So with scaling here and understanding this progression of what we're talking about here today, that's why it's important. We want to scale individuals just like we do in working out and exercise to meet them where they're at and move them forward from there. So there are some underlying themes here that we can all respond to. Quality of food. As we are trying to clean up our nutrition, the first thing to focus on here is improving the quality of the nutrients that we're taking in.
But I thought a calorie was a calorie no matter what.
And so there's something, I mean, we can jump down that rabbit hole for sure, and we could talk about calorie for calorie, but I don't even want to touch on that. I want to say, as we focus on the quality of our nutrition, it's going to help us inject some intentionality here. So now we've got some sort of a thought process before we're choosing our meal. Well, I can't really choose McDonald's because I don't really know what they put in their food. Sorry, McDonald's. So, or wherever. Like, show me the ingredients list. If, and I think this is a common enough thing to come across, if you can't pronounce the ingredients of what you're intaking, you that's some cause for concern. We want to take some pause there. So now with assessing the ingredients or the quality of our food, we've created some sort of a pause. This way, offering us some sort of a thought process or some sort of intentionality to what it is that we're eating. So we can take this to some well-known, not great eating habits like ice cream. So I'm going to have some ice cream after dinner or something like that. Now, I'm not endorsing the intake of ice cream after dinner. The point is that if we're going to grab some conventional, I don't know, Breyers or Friendlies or Häagen-Dazs or something like that, and we're just grabbing it, not thinking about what ingredients are in there, or is it organic, is it non-GMO, is it local? You know, these sorts of things, if it's mass-produced, the chances are, and not always the case, but the chances are a little bit higher that it's not going to be the highest quality of ice cream. Again, not to endorse ice cream, but just saying, as we're focusing on the quality of this maybe not great choice of food, we stop. We go, where's this ice cream coming from? And then we may not have it. So that's an instance where focusing on the quality of food will create some pause and inject intentionality behind our eating habits.
I think quality of foods, in my opinion, that, like when I was thinking of this, it's the reason why I think we both agree it's number one is how important it is, not specifically as your first step, but how important it is down the line. Because a lot of the stuff that happens with nutrition down the line is that there was no foundation, there was no like beginning, and you just jumped into, all right, this is how many calories I'm supposed to eat, this is what I'm supposed to eat, blah, blah, blah. And if you don't have a foundation of like, these are the foods that I eat on a day-to-day basis, this is like what I'm supposed to eat, then the results are going to vary down the line. If we have a foundation of, all right, I'm eating my veggies, I'm eating color, I'm eating solid, maybe lean pieces of meat or other sources of protein that are like, they're solid pieces of protein. They're it's not like processed. There's nothing else that really goes into it. We're going to be all right down the line. And I think the high quality food is one of the things that are the reasons why people skip this stuff off often is because there's not like instant results driven with it. So you're not going to automatically change the quality of your food and see that 20-pound weight loss. It's more of, we have to do this now, so down the line, we can see that 20 pounds come off or that 30 pounds come off quicker and easier and stay off instead of, all right, I'm just going to skip this step completely and just go right to that part. And then you start seeing that fluctuation where, oh, I used to be at this weight. I used to eat like this, and now I can't hold that weight because such and such is happening, or I don't work with this coach anymore, and now I lost or I gained all this weight back, things like that. So that's why I think this first step is crucial. And I think if you're looking into a diet or someone to help you with a diet, that if this isn't their first step, if this isn't the first question they ask you, then you should, I don't know who they are, but like you should probably go and seek other help. You should see, find someone who's asking that question right away, which is, all right, what are you eating? Like, what are the foods that you're actually eating? Not their first question is, all right, how much of it are you eating? Or like I said, I kind of joked about, but like a calorie is a calorie type of thing. If they're saying that, then like maybe you should go try to find help from somewhere else. There's too much to gain from actual quality of food in terms of how our body uses it, the whole inflammation process of eating certain foods, creating inflammation in the body, unnecessary inflammation if we don't need it, but we're just being kind of lazy about how we eat or what we eat, and just overall function of the body. And all of that comes out of a simple step in the beginning of just figuring out what foods do that for you is just, it's, and like I said, it's too crucial to just like skip over.
Yeah. I mean, in addition to the inflammation and the implications of ingesting nutrients that may not be of higher quality or as good as we can find. Their bioavailability of nutrients. So as we aren't focused on the quality as much, the way that our body assimilates lower quality food, and we see this often in terms of meats, poor quality meats, we don't yield as much of a retention of the protein that we're intaking. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it's the truth. If we don't have a high quality meat, if it's not a good grade of meat, the bioavailability, how much protein we can assimilate from that source, it's just not the same return. So that's for instance of why, in terms of if you want to tie it into macronutrients, it's super important that the quality will directly correlate to the intake or the assimilation of those nutrients. That was something I really wanted to bring up about the quality, is bioavailability. So I'm good to go on and talk about the modifying of the amounts of food that we take in.
Yeah, so step two would be amount. So this is a fine line between calories and, like, specifically just looking at the amount that we have on our plate. One thing, when I was a couple months ago, I talked to Derek about this. I don't know if he remembers, but I asked him, like, what do you usually do if you want to lose weight? Like, how do you do it? And you said, like, I just usually split what I have, or, like, just split in half, and, like, I don't eat as much. And to me, I was like, how do you do that? Like, how does that work? But, like, as I've gone, like, tried it myself a little bit more and kind of experimented with it, I've found that this step, I think, is number two, because it gives us a chance to, with our own, without anything kind of dictating our train of thought, that we can decide, all right, like, let me play around with this. Let me see what maybe eating a little less meat does, maybe eating a little more veggies does. Like, what does that do for us? How does that make us feel? How does that help us along? So looking at our plate, you look at your plate, you sit down for dinner. First off, you have to ask yourself, what is your goal? So is my goal to lose weight? Is my goal to gain weight? And if whatever the answer to that question is, all right, let's take slight amount away from each portion, or let's add a little bit more of a lean protein source, and then maybe take away a little bit of whatever carb you're eating, or vice versa, whatever it is that you feel is best for you. You can play around with these things too, but just playing around with the amount is, like I said, going to make positive changes either way. I think taking away the numbers from things is a lot less stressful for people, in terms of, like, there's not a specific amount you're looking at. You're just like, all right, like, this is what I'm going to eat. I'm going to try to eat it, and then I'll go from there. And Derek's obviously going to be a little bit more, like, better suited for the subject, because he actually, like, has practiced it before, and I know he's, like, lost and gained weight doing that. But from, like, it starts to make sense to me as I thought about it more and did it myself a little bit more. And that's why I think it's, like, really important. Like, it should be your second step in this process.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely some experience on my end with competitively lifting or being a power lifter. There was a phase in my competitive streak where I was gaining weight. I probably started powerlifting at around 205 pounds. And I slowly crept up in weight to compete in the 220 pound weight class. So getting up to the top of that weight class was my first objective, getting up around 220, and then pushing that threshold to train a little bit heavier, be able to train a little bit harder with a little bit extra weight, and then slowly taper back as I got closer to the meet. So at my heaviest, I was around 235 pounds.
Skinny boy.
You know it. Skinny boy for real. And so I had gotten up to around 235 pounds, and I'm sitting here now right around 180 pounds. And
I actually can't imagine. I've never obviously seen you at that weight. But, like, that's so weird.
I was pretty large, and not very comfortable. But anyhow, so cutting that weight, actually, what I had done, I've never been a real big practitioner or component or proponent of counting calories. Maybe it's lazy, I don't know, but it just failed to make sense to me. So what Brandon said, this is the first time that I really implemented that concept of, all right, I eat more or less the same stuff every day. I'm not eating poorly. I'm just eating a lot of it. So I think for most of us, we are continuously eating more or less the same stuff. And maybe it's not the best choices. Maybe we're having burgers. Maybe we're having pizza. Maybe we're having chicken wings. I don't know. Ice cream, sure. Ice cream is a fan favorite. Whatever it is, if we start to taper that back and monitor and modify the amounts that we're intaking, we're effectively intaking less calories throughout the day. Now, our body's going to give us feedback. We'll get some tummy rumbles. We're going to feel hungry. We might feel a little bit low energy. These things happen as we decrease our overall caloric intake and we mess around with our macro count. But if we stick to it and we have the consistency, then our body begins to adapt and change. So, and it's not as perfect, going back to the humor that we've had around calorie in, calorie out, calorie is a calorie. But the fact of the matter is, if we can continuously stick to consuming less calories than we were a month ago, our body will ultimately change as our activity level stays the same or increases. So going back to the point about improving the quality of our foods, we develop a discipline. And as we increase the quality of our food, we can use those better nutrients to then there help out with furthering our success and our body's ability to adapt with the quality nutrients with the modified amounts of our food. And I think that pretty awesome first two steps.
Yeah. So, going on to step three, I would say this is usually, unfortunately, the first step for a lot of people, and it should realistically be the last step, which is calories and macros and breaking it down into how much protein should we be eating in a day, how much fat should we be eating, how many carbs should we be eating in a day. And this, in my opinion, it works. It obviously is probably the most effective way to like lose or gain weight, but it adds a level of stress that I felt when I've tried it, and I know others have felt when they've tried it, where I went over 5 grams on my fat and my protein, like, oh, I'm gonna gain a bunch of weight now, or that's it, I've done it, like, I'm done, I can't do it anymore. And to me, it's almost like, if we're competing or something, or we're in a place where we need to lose weight, health reasons, things like that, then yeah, maybe we look at calories and macros and things like that, but this is really for that end of the line, saying, all right, I've taken the time, I've developed what foods I'm eating, I've decided that I'm going to eat more organic, I'm going to eat color on my plate, I'm going to eat leaner meats. Then we go, okay, I've decided the quality of food that I'm going to eat, now I'm going to try to play around with the amounts that I eat. And once we start getting stagnant with like, all right, I've ate this much, and like I haven't really noticed any much of difference there, or like I've changed it around this much and I kind of want to really lose this last extra 10 pounds, or I really feel that I have to get ready for a competition and like I feel I have to be at this weight, blah, blah, blah. So that's when we really start diving into calories and macros, which is fat, protein, and carbs. Those are the main three that you're going to see there. Or just counting overall and breaking those down and counting overall calories. So basically the way you're looking at that is you're looking how many calories do I burn in a day just living and doing whatever you do after you work out, and how many calories are we going to be consuming in a day. So that's, like I said, there's a problem in like the fitness industry where this is a quick fix to a massive problem where people do become overweight, and or they do have health problems and things like that, where this is the, okay, let's get you down to a certain weight, let's just cut your calories, let's just, and any most of the time, most people, if you cut the calories, that I might have said this on here before, but the 700-pound man theory, where like realistically anybody could help a 700-pound man lose weight. It's just like when it comes down to it and he really like gets down to past 100 pounds, like how are you really going to help him? And that's when like this starts to come in. But there's the real problem there is he doesn't know his quality of food. There's things that he's missing out on that way that once you're done helping him, he's probably going to go back to how it was. There's going to be the problem of like, what is he eating? How much is he eating? What are the exact foods he's eating? So that, in my opinion, is why it's last. And I wouldn't recommend it to most people to start unless I felt confident that they were like mentally able to handle it as much as they were to mentally handle the numbers and all that too. I'm not a data-driven person, so like that's another thing that bothers me about that. But anyways.
And there are some people that are.
Yeah.
And that's, for some people, I've heard a number of success stories, as Brandon was already saying, where people count their macros and they've had a ton of success from it. What we're trying to say, and from our position here at Thrive, is we feel like there's a lot of stress associated with it. And some people do well in that environment, and that's great. And there are places that you can seek out for that guidance. What we're trying to do is come from a little bit broader of an approach where we can make habits that are a little bit more sustainable because there's less stress associated with them. There aren't numbers associated with them. There's a little bit more, like, I'm looking for certain foods to consume, not certain calories or a certain macro count. I'm not tallying up numbers at the end of each one of my meal. I'm just trying to help improve my overall habits of eating and consistency with that, and avoiding these pitfalls of feeling negatively or over committing to things that I don't fully understand why I'm doing this or what it's going to take in order to preserve this or maintain these new habits. And at the end of the day, we're just trying to prevent ourselves from feeling ashamed or feeling shamed by these maybe not best eating habits in terms of the broader public.
The first steps are that important because, like I said, as down the line, when you don't know what kind of food you're eating or you don't know the sources or what exactly is in them, it's a lot harder to keep that whole calorie thing up and then lose weight but keep it sustainable. So that's the whole goal here, sustainability, holistic approach to fitness. You know what it is.
Yeah, and we're gonna dive into that aspect of shame a little bit more next time.
Yeah, we were supposed to get to it, but I kind of just kept talking.
No, that's okay. I mean, those were very important points for us to discuss and to dive into a little bit deeper, because it gets into the fabric of what Thrive is and what it represents and how we hope to help out and offer assistance with fitness and wellness, not just the fitness end of things, but understanding how nutrition integrates with that and is married. And with all that said, understanding how powerful and how debilitating making the commitment to altering our nutrition and then being ashamed of our choices or not being as consistent as we thought we could have been at the start. So we just want to unravel that a little bit more and talk about what our experience with that has been and what we feel like would be optimal moving forward.
Yeah. So I appreciate you guys for checking in, listening to us. Leave a review if possible. Subscribe to us. New episodes every Wednesday, sometimes Thursday.
Give it a share.
Yeah, give it a share. If you find anything useful, let someone else know about it. We're trying to spread the word of a holistic approach to fitness, all right? We want the most amount of people to hear this. So if you guys have any questions, things like that, reach out to us. You know where to get us. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Peace.